Great. So usually at this point, like Tom said earlier, at this point, kids, you'd normally be heading off to do your kids' groups, your separate thing to the adults who would be in here doing their thing, right? We'd go somewhere different. And sometimes it's really good to do separate things, and sometimes it's really good to all be together, just like Tom was talking about earlier. And so also being part of church family, being part of the house, means getting to know each other better. And so to help with that, I want you now to turn to the people next to you and just share, if you could eat one thing for the rest of your life, just one, what would it be and why? Turn to people next to you and have that little chat. If you could, I know we could talk about this for hours, I imagine. Lots of foods to chat about and reasons why. I know some of our internal processes might be a bit like, I can't quite describe why. And our external processes are here like list after list. This is why, this is why, this is why. That is me, I'm one of those. If you could bring your discussion to a chat now and bring your attention back to me. Over here. Over here. Oh, too much chat about foods. There we go. Simmer down. There we go. Bit like simmering pasta, right? Food. Yeah, anyway, brilliant. So today we are going to be carrying on our series in James. So kids, the adults have been looking at James for the last couple of months. And so we're going to join with them today and carry on in the book of James. Now, the book of James is a book in the Bible, and it was written, it's a letter written by James, which is Jesus' half-brother, about 15 to 30 years after Jesus went to heaven. So it was written to teach the Jesus followers in that day and teach us about how God wants us to live. So today we're looking at James chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. But before we get into the Bible, I want to ask you guys a question, okay? Have you ever been selfish? Now, I know it's probably not you, right? It's not you. It's probably everyone else in the room, but it's not you. I know. It's not any one of you. Is it? Yeah, it totally is, isn't it, right? I mean, all of us are selfish. I was selfish. I was probably selfish about like 3 seconds ago, just thinking about me, bringing you back to me with the attention. But being selfish is when you're most concerned about you, about what you can have or what you can enjoy. And to be honest with you, one thing that I often want is to do what I want to do. Does that sound a bit familiar? I've got an example for you. When I wake up, I really like to enjoy a hot cup of tea in bed, in pajamas, nice and quiet with no one talking to me, right? Just to help me wake up, okay? And you know what? That is okay. It is really important for me to have some space. But sometimes someone in my family might want to have a little chat to me. And sometimes I need to give up what I want, the solo cup of tea, to listen to someone else. And sometimes I say, no, Dave, I'm not listening to you. Even though you're about to go to work and you really need to tell me this thing, I am not listening. Sometimes I am selfish, right? I wonder if you have ever wanted to do something that someone else wants to do, or they have something that you want, and you've tried to get it. Maybe you've said something unkind or you've ended up in an argument. For example, when your brother or sister or someone else in your house has something that you want to play with, right? Or maybe it's someone that you work with and they get the promotion or the task that you really wanted. And it can feel really hard, and it is okay to find it hard, right? But what do you then do afterwards? You might try and grab the thing. Yeah, the thing that you want. You might shout at the person, maybe not at work, but you might say unkind things about them and you might complain to someone behind their back. And it's okay to find it hard, right? But the unkindness, the arguments and the fights that can happen, that explains a lot about what is actually going wrong with the world. Often we want something that we just don't have. And sometimes we ask God, but we're asking from an attitude of wanting what everyone else has. We need to check our hearts sometimes. We're listening to what the people around us say is like the thing to have. Or we're listening to our own wants, what we want in that moment, rather than listening to what God wants for us. In a moment, we're going to take a look at what James says about this in his letter. But first, our James is going to come up and lead us in a game.
Thanks, Emma. Who's up for a game?
Need to pop.
Woohoo! Right, I'm going to need some help. You're all going to be involved. But one person in particular is going to have a big challenge. Who wants to see an adult do a silly challenge? Okay, kids, we need to choose the adult who's going to do the silly challenge. So who do you think should do it? Kids, who do you think? Point to the person who you think should do the silly challenge. Come on, kids. I can't do it. Oh, there's lots of pointing over here. Who's going to do it? Come on. Pip Hatch, one of the hatches. Alex Sidery. Pip, you up for it? All right, give Pip a round of applause. You have no idea what you signed up for. Pip, are you scared of spiders? You're all right with spiders, yeah?
Yeah.
She's all right with spiders, that's good. Snakes?
No.
No, all right. I'll leave that bit out then. And any food intolerances?
No.
Any, you scared of heights at all?
No.
Oh, you'll be fine. Right, let me just, in here, let's see, I'll just move the snake out the way. Get the snake out of the way. Let's see if we've got what we need. Could you just pop that on for me, Pip? Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to need two kid volunteers. One kid who's really good at standing still. I don't know if we've got any of those. And one kid who's really good at giving instructions. Wow, okay, Robin. Are you going to... You're standing still. Do you want to do the standing still job? Okay, who do you think would be good, really good at giving instructions? I think Rupert really wants to give instructions, don't you, Rupert? Yeah? Okay, Rupert, give these volunteers a round of applause. Okay, Pip, can you see anything?
No.
Good. Okay, Robin, I've got an important job for you. Robin is going to take the secret item. Oh, here it is. Don't show Pip. And Robin, can you go somewhere in the back of the room and stand really still and hold the secret item out? Okay? You go for it. Give her a round of applause as she goes. It is a grown-up that could help Robin find a good place and stay still. Okay. Now, Rupert. What's your name?
Rupert.
Where'd you come from?
Leeds.
Okay, Rupert, you got a very important job. You have to tell Pip. Have you met Pip before? Do you know Pip? This is Pip. You have to give her some instructions to complete the challenge. All right? Do you think you can do it? Yeah, do you know which way's left and which way's right? Yeah, good. Uh-oh. It's going to get worse for you, Pip, don't worry. Okay. Pip's challenge, you got to listen carefully, Rupert, and everyone else, you got to listen too for a different reason. So the challenge is Pip has to go and collect the secret item. So this way. Then she collects the secret item from the secret item holder, Robin, yeah. You'll have to direct her to Robin. Then she has to come back and use the secret item to get a secret prize. This is not the secret prize. The secret prize, we'll go into this. Here is the secret prize. Get away, snake. Nope. Here is the secret. How nervous do you feel, Pip?
Well, I do trust you.
Oh, you might not after this. This is the secret prize. The secret prize is going to go into here. And Pip needs to get the secret prize with the secret item. Do you get it, Rupert? And then she needs to do this with the secret prize. You ready? Do you think you can get her to do it? Let's just test to see if the secret prize is still all right. Oh, gosh. Oh. I'm sorry, Pip. I'm sorry in advance. Okay. But that sounds too easy, right? Let's do a couple of things to make it a bit harder. Pip, how many times do you think she needs to spin round, Rupert? Can you spin round 3 times for us, Pip, so you have no idea where you're going? And just to make it even harder, Rupert's going to give her the right instructions where to go. But everybody else, I'd like you to give her the wrong instructions, okay? So make it hard for her. Are you ready? Don't shout too loud, because that would be a bit difficult, wouldn't it? But if she comes near you, as Pip comes near you, tell her the wrong way to go. All right? And Rupert, you're going to tell her the right way to go. We'll see. You can follow Pip, and you can be behind her and tell her where to go, okay? And what to do. If they're too loud, I'll give you the microphone. But see if you can do it, okay? You ready? See if she can complete the challenge. So she's got to get the secret item, bring it back here, and get the secret prize. Are you ready, Rupert? Ready?
Send her up the way. Yeah. Okay, come back the other way. Ready?
Okay. All right, let's go for it. Pip, listen to Rupert. Tell her where to go. Careful of the snake, Pip. Turn around, Pip. Rupert, time's running out. She's got to go faster. Well done, Rupert, you're doing a great job. Should she go forward or backwards? How many steps? I think you should go 10. Give her the wrong instructions, guys. Don't listen to Rupert, that's good instructions. Can she get the secret item? She's got to get the secret item. Keep giving her the wrong instructions, guys. Oh, she's done part one of the challenge. Oh, no touching, Rupert. That's very... That's definitely cheating. Don't walk... Don't hurt anybody, Pip. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh. Okay, final bit of the challenge. You've done so well so far. Rupert, I'm going to do this. You've got to tell her what to do. No holding. See if you can tell her. It's really hard, isn't it? What should she do? Down or up? Oh, what should she do with it? Put it in that. Eat it, he says. No, put it in your hair. Put it in your hair. Put it in your hair. Oh! You still alive? Hey, give her a round of applause. Have a look. Amazing. What is it? I don't know. It's brown and wet and sticky. I don't know. I wouldn't want to try it. Pip, should we give Pip a huge round of applause? Amazing. Well done, Pip. Should we give Rupert a huge round of applause? Well done, mate. You can go sit down. You did a great job. And Robin, our... How still did Robin stand? She was amazing. Well done, Robin.
Well done, Robin.
Brilliant.
Thanks, James.
Emma, over to you.
Thank you very much. Wow, that was fun. It was fun, but Pip, how did you find that? Disorientating. Was it easy to listen to Rupert's voice and only Rupert's voice? No, it wasn't, was it? It was really hard with so many instructions, is that right? It is hard sometimes, isn't it, to listen to the right voice that's telling you the right thing when you've got so many different instructions telling you so many other things. It's disorientating. Now, in our passage from the Bible today, James talks to us about the importance of listening to God's voice rather than all the different voices in the world. So let's read it. Let's have a look up here. Kids, if you can read, read along with me. If you're not able to read, have a look for the different pictures on each of the pages as they come up behind me. So do you know where your fights and arguments come from? They come from the selfish desires that make war inside you. You want things, but you do not have them. So you're ready to kill and are jealous of other people. But you still cannot get what you want, and so you argue and you fight. You do not get what you want because you do not ask God, or when you ask, you do not receive because the reason you ask is wrong. You want things only so that you can use them for your own pleasures. So, you people are not loyal to God. You should know that loving the world is the same as hating God. So if a person wants to be friends with the world, he makes himself God's enemy. Do you think the scripture means nothing? It says, the spirit that God made to live in us wants us for himself alone. But God gives us even more grace. As the scripture says, God is against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So give yourselves to God. Stand against the devil, and the devil will run away from you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. You are sinners, so clean sin out of your lives. You're trying to follow God and the world at the same time. Make your thinking pure. And that was in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Well, that was quite a lot, wasn't it, right? So we're going to take a little closer look. So when we're selfish, it causes arguments, as verses 1 and 2 say. We get jealous, and this causes us to argue and fight. Like when we talked about earlier, do you remember? When your brother or sister maybe wants something that you want to play with, or your work colleague has the task that you particularly wanted, or maybe it's the person... the person at playgroup that you compare yourself with, they've maybe got something that you really want to have. This selfishness can cause a fight. Maybe you ask God for the thing that you want, but as verse 3 says, you want things so you can use them for your own pleasures. And this might even hurt someone else. It's all me, me, me. He'll say, me, me, me.
Me, me, me.
You can say it louder than that. Me, me, me. That's better. So verses 4 and 5 tell us that by choosing these things of the world, we're turning away from God and making him our enemy. We can't be a friend with the world and also with God. It's one or the other. You know, we are all selfish, right? It's not easy, and we can't just say, I won't be selfish. It just doesn't work, does it? Because we're all like it. We make choices and we put ourselves before anyone else. But that's not the end of the story. It's really good because God hasn't left us to deal with this alone. He wants to help us, right? So let's carry on and have a look. Verse 6 tells us that God gives us even more grace, which is us giving us, something that we don't deserve because he loves us. Now, I'm going to need some volunteers now. It's my turn for a bit of help. So, Toby, can you come up here, please? Anyone else want to help me? Somebody else? Jago, do you want to come help? Come on up, Jago. Okay. So, Jago, Toby, if you come stand here a sec. Jago, I want you to stand there, and I want you to stand big and bold and strong, like a bit like a superhero, standing tall. Go on, hands on your hips. You can stand tall, maybe not as tall as me, that's it. Big and strong. So this is us. Go on, nice and strong, Jago. Yeah, you stand your ground, that's right. This is us standing up for something that when we see is wrong, we say no, even though it's hard. Yeah, big and bold and strong, saying no, even when it's hard. And the Bible says in verse 7 that the devil, sorry, Toby, but that's you in this case. Not because you're like that, because I know that you're fast, right? So do you know what the devil does? When we stand here nice and strong, go on, Jago, nice and strong. Do you know what the devil does? He doesn't just turn away. He doesn't stand there ready to fight. He runs. Show me how fast you can run to the other side of the room. Whoa! See, if we stand big and strong, nice one, you can go sit down, both of you. When we stand, yeah, let's give him a round of applause. Speedy. When we stand big and strong, and we stand up for something that we know is wrong, the devil doesn't just stand next to us, but he runs the other way as fast as Toby did, right? So good. I need another couple of volunteers. Last couple this time. Put your hand in the air if you really want to be a volunteer. Don't all jump at once. Tom, come and join me. Anyone else? Just my two. Come on up then, both of you. Okay, so this time, let's see where we are. Okay, so this time, we're going to have you guys as us. So I want you to go and stand in front of Daddy there. Go and stand in front of Daddy. Stop. Perfect. Just stand there, looking forwards to everyone else. You are us. Just hanging out, okay? Now, you, Tom, are God, okay? And the Bible says, that's right, the Bible says that our sin, so all the bad choices that we make that are not what God chooses for us, it causes a separation from us, right? So, God, I need you to go and stand over there. Keep going, keep going, keep going, Tom, keep going, keep going. Perfect. Turn around and face everybody. Wonderful. There's a big separation between God and us, right? In fact, yeah, go a bit further. And stop there, guys. Stop. Look at me for the minute. That's right, because not only is there a separation, because God is so holy and perfect, there has to be separation from us who are not holy and not perfect, right? And when we choose to turn away from God, turn away from God, face that way, Jacob. Turn away from God. No, that's it, face that wall. That's it, backs are to God, right? So we've turned away from God. We're facing the other direction. We're choosing to keep our distance ourselves as well. So there's that separation because God's holy and we're not, but also we choose to turn away from God too. However, the Bible tells us in verse 8, that when we decide to live for God and turn away from the world, we turn towards him. Jacob and Esther, turn towards me. That's it. We turn towards God and we step closer. Take one big step, but stop. As we step closer, how good is it that God steps closer to us? Tom, take a step forward. That's it. And as we take another step together, guys, both of you walk at the same time towards me. Because you come closer together as we step towards God. Stop. As we step towards God, God comes towards us. Thank you very much. You guys can go sit down. Thank you. The verse says, come near to God and God will come near to you. James doesn't say then. So it isn't that they, as us, came all the way to me and then God came. No, as we step closer to God, God steps closer to us. It's not conditional. So God's coming near to us is in the person of Jesus who died for us. And he comes near to us as Holy Spirit who helps us. The more time that we spend with God, right, reading God's word, the Bible, chatting and catching from him, which we call praying, in times of quiet, but also in every little bit of our day, as we chat and catch with God, we hear more of his voice and we can focus on him. Whose voice are we going to hear then, God's or the world's? That's right. The more we listen and just spend time with him, it isn't us saying, I won't be selfish. And then it happens. We draw near to God and he draws near to us. Yes. So to help us think a little bit more about this now, we are going to have a little turn to the people next to us again. And there's a few questions up here that I want you to chat through. Sometimes it's helpful when you've heard something to then just have a little bit of a chat. Again, internal processors, take your time with it. It's totally fine. External processors, chat away. It could be something you take away with you. But here's some questions that we're going to look at. The first question is, what are you desiring? Okay? Now, stay with me a minute. A lovely Christian answer, right, is that we want to desire to be more and more like Jesus. And that is good, obviously, but let's be realistic. What is it that you're desiring? Yes, we do want to desire to be like Jesus, but there are other things that we desire instead, right? So let's be honest. What are you really desiring at the moment? What would it look like for you to follow God and not the world? And what are you going to do, maybe this week, to help you to do this? If you want to get into small groups now and have a little chat through these discussion questions.